obsessed, but you were like so, you wanted to be an adult so bad. You wanted to do what me and Tony and Benjamin did and like have a job and like go to college and like be an adult. And I told, and I was like, I told you this, being an adult sucks. Paying bills sucks. Working all the time sucks. So just like enjoy your time while you have it. So now I'm like reiterating that more and he understands it more now. Just be like, having a job sucks. I'm not going to charge you rent to live here. I'm not going to like, sure, if you want to buy dinner for us, fine. But like, I'm not going to charge you to live here. So how about you just live here for a little while? It's fine. It's not a big deal. You can go work at the deli so I can get free soup or free sandwiches, whatever. So yeah, he's just figuring it out slowly. But hopefully everything's good and we can go see him in January. Maybe even if it's not for like a long period of time, for a little while. For like a week. So yeah. Japan 2025. Hopefully. Crossing my fingers.
I have been getting served on my TikTok page a lot of this girl in Japan who is going nuts every night at the 7-Elevens. All the food and snacks there are so good and so different. And she's just trying a bunch of things. It's been very fun to watch. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Johnny was saying that the food was good there too. That they just have all sorts of like random foods.
Yeah. And like quality foods at 7-Eleven.
Right. Like not like your shitty microwavable pizza or hot dog or whatever, but it's actually like food. Mm-hmm. That doesn't taste like freeze dried.
Well, welcome, friends. Hi. How is everybody? Hope you're having a good week, day, month, year. Why not? Welcome back. This is another episode of We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I am Crystal.
I'm Joy.
I'm Anna.
And we're here to discuss the 2024... Oscar nominees for Best Picture and our conversations with Oscar series. Today's film is American Fiction, starring Jeffrey Wright, Erica Alexander, Sterling K. Brown, and John Ortiz. Written and directed by Cord Jefferson, based on the book Erasure by Percival Everett. The film is about a novelist who is fed up with the establishment profiting from Black entertainment, so he uses a pen name to write a book that propels him into the heart of the hypocrisy and madness he claims to disdain. Along with Best Picture, nominated for Best Actor, Jeffrey Wright, Best Supporting Actor, Sterling K. Brown, Best Adapted Screenplay, Cord Jefferson, and Best Score, Laura Karpman. With 5 nominations total, this is American Fiction. Friends of mine, loves of my life. What do you think of it?
I love Jeffrey Wright. I love Erica Alexander. I love Sterling K. Brown. I love Tracee Ellis Ross. And I think I love the movie. I don't know. I've had a couple weeks to settle on it, and it kind of like it had to simmer for a little bit because at first I was like, okay, this is really interesting. I think it's good. Is it on the top of my ranking? I don't know. I don't think so. But I think it's good. It's solid. It's solid, I think.
I thought it was smart. I thought it was fun. I had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But I also left feeling like, okay. Like, that was okay. It didn't, like, blow my mind. Which, I mean, movies don't have to, but I don't know. I felt pretty middle of the road about this film.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought I liked how this is, when people say they're doing satire, this is what they think they're doing.
Right.
I really liked that. I really liked how it was actually a satire. I love that an actual comedy was nominated. I was like laughing. I love that. I mean, a lot of people, the criticism for this movie is a lot of like, it's heavy handed and it's too much, but like nothing they said was incorrect.
Yeah.
The white people do overcompensate. And nothing in this movie was incorrect. I like seeing adult siblings, a relationship of siblings is nice. That was great. Yes. I like that. I like that it was a story with Black people at the forefront, and it's not about like how they're like, he says in the movie, they're not in like gangs. It's not about slavery. It's not about how like life is hard for them. They're going through troubles, but like, the race has nothing to do with it. Like, everybody gets older. Everybody has siblings. Everybody has someone who dies. Everyone has a mother who gets older. Like, all the problems seem so realistic and universal. And I think that's the part I liked about it the most, how it was, like, universal. And it wasn't a quote-unquote Black movie. And so I think it's funny how he's saying in the movie how, like, oh, you want a Black book. Oh, okay. Whatever. But, like, and then also the movie itself is doing that as well. It's showing you a different side of people that a lot of people still today don't look at that group and see, like, a full-fledged human.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised it's actually nominated. I'm not mad, because I enjoyed it. Especially because I feel like Oscar baity movies feel very, like, heavy-handed and very, like, emotional and, like, too much sometimes. So this was really refreshing. I wasn't, like, nervous in my seat, like, oh, what's gonna happen in the movie, like some of them. But, I'm happy for the people involved. I don't know that it's going to win anything, but I'm excited for it to be there.
Yeah, I think the best part of the film overall is really from the screenplay. The screenplay was really strong. I like that the pacing felt really natural, like things came to natural conclusions. I think genuinely it was like really, really funny. I went to go see it with my mom and Benjamin when they a couple weeks ago. And it was like legit, like we were laughing or like smirking or like whatever with other people in the theater, which I like. I love a theater experience, and I love when it's like an actual, like there's other people there who like get it too. It was really funny, and it had really good acting in it too. Jeffrey Wright, I love Jeffrey Wright. Jeffrey Wright has always been good. And I've been watching like the Actors on Actors and the like roundtable stuff for the season. And I just love like the things that he has to bring to the table. He always has like good, like, not just good sound bites, but like good stories, like good, good insight on things. And to hear like from his early career until now, I'm really happy to see him in a leading role. Again, because like as far as like as I've been around watching movies and stuff, he's always been a supporting character. There's a movie called Lackawanna Blues that was on HBO early 2000s that I saw him in. That movie in itself, at least from what I saw and what I remember of back then, was really good. It was a really nice ensemble movie. But I remember him being really good in it too. And he like left that imprint on my brain that like, oh, this is a good actor. This is what good acting is. And then of course, like in Westworld where he was great. So I like that he's back, like doing more leading roles in things. And I'm really happy for him that he got the nom.
Yeah, just really nice to see something good happen to someone, like a good person.
Mm-hmm.
That's really nice. Yeah, this feels also like a reward for his years of service he's made to the art that is film. Yeah. From, you know, blockbusters to award-winning shows. Like, he's just kind of done it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, seeing him, like, us in the forefront was really great. Also, Erica Alexander is great.
Yes!
I was so happy to see her here.
I love her!
I honestly had no idea what this was about. I didn't watch any trailers. All I knew was Jeffrey Wright in the poster. So I was like, oh my god, Tracee Ellis Ross. Oh my god, Erica Alexander. Like, I was just so excited to see everybody here. Sir Lucky Brown is good. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I randomly saw this trailer. I'm trying to remember. I think it might have been, like, on a random YouTube video. It was the commercial, and I just didn't hit skip. And I was like, oh, that looks like an interesting movie. I've heard nothing about it. And then, like, the next week, it was nominated for 5 Oscars. And I was like, that's crazy. I've literally heard of this movie one time. But I agree. I love Jeffrey Wright. I think he's wonderful. Some of his mannerisms in this movie, for some reason, reminded me of my dad. Really? And I don't know why. I couldn't pinpoint it, but I was like, he's doing something that reminds me of my father, and I don't know what it is.
That is so cool.
Love Tracee Ellis Ross. Big, big fan. Her dying, you know, the first third was quite surprising.
Uh-huh! I was not expecting that.
Especially because they're like, ah, ha, ha, ha. Oh, no, wait, you're really dying. yeah, I thought this was a really well-casted movie. I think, I was just looking at them and I moved off the page. Leslie Uggams, I think, was great as well as Agnes. Mm-hmm. And then Myra Lucretia Taylor as Lorraine. I thought she was also wonderful.
Oh, I love Lorraine. She was so cute.
Yes.
That little, so cute. There was
something so soft about her.
Yeah, there was a little bit of there was a great bit of variety, like genre variety in this. There was a little bit mm-hmm. of, like, there was the family drama, there was the satire, obviously, of the overall, there was a little bit of the romance, there was, like, great comedy, great, like, it was really, like, so funny. There was so much happening, but I think that it was a great choice of, like, the acting married to the writing was really successful. And I'm so happy to see Erica Alexander back on my fucking screen, because she deserves it. She deserves all her flowers. She was literally, like, she was the one. Like, I love Queen Latifah equally, but Living Single, like, she was that bitch. Like, she is amazing. She is so funny. She is so talented. She's so cool. And I really hope, I really, really hope that her being in this film means that I'm going to see her on my screen way more, because she can do anything and she can do it all. And I want to see her more.
I agree. Like, I when I was watching, I was like, I need to rewatch Living Single, because, oh man, she's so good. She looks great. I also love, back to the direction, I love that Cord Jefferson. Like, when I think about the direction of the movie, I think, like, he's directing with such confidence.
Mm-hmm.
He knows himself very well, and the film very well, and the scene very well. It feels like lived in, like he gets it, which makes sense, because I'm sure he's lived exact scenes of this. Like, I like how it's like there's a scene in the beginning where I think it's in Jeffrey Wright's classroom, and I can't remember exactly what the words are, but there's a shot of him, and then, like, a shot of a white woman stands up and blocks him, and I thought, that's so smart. Mm-hmm. So funny. Or when he tells his student, like, well, I got over it, so you can too. Like, and then he gets in trouble for, like, yelling at her, making her cry or something. I also really loved the jazz score. I loved it. I'm really happy it got nominated. I'm very surprised this got recognition at all. But I'm really happy about it, because I was digging all of that. That whole vibe, I was like, yes, I'm going to live in this. I just want to sit in it. I'm going to stay here forever. Like, I loved it. It was so good.
Yeah, it was another directorial debut.
Yes, I love that.
Which is so good. I mean, I think it just goes to show even more and more that, like, Hollywood really needs to, like, suck it up and take some chances on, you know, new directors, new talent, people with, you know, different styles or different voices or different points of view or whatever, because, like, yeah, it's more than just white men that can direct out here. It's like,
yeah, it's not lost on me that these two first-time directors are people of color.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it
I don't know, because Hollywood's, like, very risk-averse. Like, if it doesn't make money, they don't want to do it, which reminds me that, like, Hollywood is a business, so, like, they think about money. So, like, that's where, like, the weird part of it, like, it's art, yes, but it's also a business because we pay to see these movies and they need financing. So it's, like, a weird, I don't know. It's a weird, but I think with, with Cord Jefferson, like, yes, first time feature, he's written for, like, Watchmen. He wrote for Master of None and a couple seasons of The Good Place, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So when I found out he wrote Watchmen, I was like, oh, yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
Because Watchmen had a lot of, much more brutal, but it had the same type of feel.
Mm-hmm. No, it's really well written. I was really enjoying that. And, I was more surprised because the trailer that I had seen, the one trailer is the trailer I kept seeing on, like, my TikTok ads, was where it was talking more about, like, him writing his book and his satire and everything, but it didn't really show much of, like, the family drama that was happening. So I really loved the, like, the depth that the movie had of being able to balance the notes of the comedy with the notes of the drama. Especially in him and his relationship with his mother, with his other siblings. Like you said earlier, I love seeing sibling relationships on TV so much. And I love when they're as nuanced and complicated and layered as real life relationships. And they're not just like either we're BFFs or we hate each other. 'Cause there's so much like, it's such a spectrum of like, you know, relationships. You have different relationships with, you know, siblings who are older or younger or like, you know, you grew up differently or whatever. But it was a really good, it's really good storytelling.
Yeah, it made me realize because I'm in a spot now where like all of my siblings are adults now. So like our relationship is different than it was 5-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think it's I kind of felt bad for people who are like don't have any siblings. Like, yeah, they have friends, I'm sure, but like something about a sibling relationship is just so, it's just so whether you have a sister, brother, multiple, whatever, I don't know, there's like a, I don't know, I can't describe it, but I am all for sibling relationships in movies. I think that's great. I love that conversation they were having right before Tracy Ellis Ross has like her like heart attack, I guess, or stroke, and they're talking about like, you know, we weren't emotional toward each other. Like we didn't hug. We didn't do any of this. So like, this is weird. And I was like, oh, it's real. Oh my God. I can't look. And like them, like their shared traumas, like talking it out. Like that's very, it's very real.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that part.
Adult sibling relationships are so uniquely complex and yet universal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because anybody who has a sibling knows exactly what you're talking about and how you feel.
Yeah.
But also it's so nuanced for each person because your traumas are so nuanced and different.
Yeah.
And your age gaps are different too.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you understand, but you don't get it. But also you get it.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly
you
right.
It's a very weird double-sided coin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? It's so interesting. I was watching some therapist psychologist that a reel that Becky had sent me, and he was talking about in a much more serious tone, not in the satire tone, but like how, you know, you could have multiple siblings living under the same household, but they're all gonna have a different response and be differently affected by your parents or your household or the environment, because you're all different people, different chemistries or whatever. But like one thing I hadn't thought about it that much, but it's like because of the like age gaps. So like, you know, the first one is raised by a parent that's you know, 20, let's say 25. The next one's raised by a parent that's 30. The next one's raised by a parent that's 35. And like your parents grow and you grow, but you all have different relationships with your parents and you all have different perspectives on your parents or, you know, the people that raised you because you saw them at different points of their life. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even.
Yeah. Because so, they're like, different people completely. Every time you have a kid, like, new kid, they're a completely different person.
Right. Like, for example, like the age gap between me and Johnny is like 9 years. So like my mom was a completely different person at, you know, whatever age than at her, you know, 9 years later, which is wild. It hadn't clicked to me until that moment. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's crazy. There's new things you learn every day. So wild.
But also just like the energy and attention you can put into the firstborn.
Yeah,
you can't put into any of the following children because you have that other child who also needs your full attention and your full support. So you're having to split yourself into all of these different parts. It's been really interesting and really beautiful to watch, like, my sister go through that. Like, watching her be a parent to one child and now being a parent to two.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to watch. It's fun to watch.
On my end, it's interesting to watch Charlie because she's an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a life that I knew only briefly. but it's interesting because I've always been around, you know, like kids, siblings, cousins, whatever. But she really doesn't have that much. It's just kind of her and then us. So it's her. I feel like she's grown up a little bit faster in that regard just because she is around much more full sentences. Or whatever. But yeah, it's interesting to see that side of it too. Like, oh, okay, only child. I get it. That's why she's like that. Oh, okay, I get it. Like, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's such a different dynamic, I feel. Yeah. So complex in its own way. But so different than I think what the three of us know, where we're used to being around like a lot of siblings or like a ton of family. Like, there's always people around. Can we talk about the beautiful architecture that was both of the houses? Oh my God. I want to live there. I want a beach there. I want to live there. I want a beach there. I want to be able to go back and forth like every weekend. Like, those two houses were stunning. And I love that they felt like lived in and like, yes, this mom had this house for years. This was the family home. And like, yes, this beach house has been around for forever.
Gorgeous.
It feels like cozy and lived in. Like, where's that vacation house? I want to go there. Let me go.
Yeah,
there.
Like, I was like, I gasped when I saw. Also, another thing too that they're showing, these people of color have a really nice house, you know? It's beautiful. It's on the water. They have history because a lot of times, you know, it's perceived as they're not going to leave you anything. There's no legacy. There's no whatever. But they have that. And so another thing to see was how they're thriving and they're not like poor. They're like pretty well off. He's got good jobs. And also, I really like the point to make his, not producer, but it's John Ortiz's
his
name.
Editor,
there you go. His editor, like, also a person of color. Uh-huh. So, like, they're able to have these conversations that aren't exactly like he has with his siblings or any other Black person, but they're not the same as another white person. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. Right. I really liked that dynamic. Because he's like, I know what you're saying. I get you. But at the same time, like, got to do what you got to do. Also, I love the Issa Rae. I love Issa Rae very much.
Yes.
And I loved her, you know, coming at it from the other end. Like, this is a story. Like, these are stories. And he's like, yeah, but we're more than that. I love that. That conversation they had at the table during the lunch was really good.
Yeah, I think it was really interesting. And I like that the movie went about it from, like, you know, pretty much every different angle that you can think about it. Because I do think she has a point. Like, you know, wouldn't you rather have those stories coming from her versus those stories coming from like a white person or someone without that experience, someone who's not Black? Even if, you know, they might not be the most like varied or new version of that story, you know, at least it's coming from a, you know, someone with that that lived experience.
Did you also want to shout in the theater, Joy? Diana, what would Liza and Kelsey say? Because what the fuck kind of publishing is this?
Oh my God, I know. She's a much better publisher than that. Come on.
Kelsey and Liza would be flabbergasted by this behavior.
Right? I love her. What's her name? Miriam Shore?
Uh-huh.
I love her. And I love that she also popped up in another Oscar movie. In Maestro. Oh my God. She's so great. I love her.
Deserves it.
Reminds me that I never finished that series, and I probably should at some point, but we'll see. I feel like it got a little messy at one point. Younger was good. It was a cute little, kind of like the Bold type, you know, making journalism look much more interesting than it actually is.
I don't remember if I finished it.
I think they went on another
finale.
Yeah, they went to like another, they got moved to another channel. They weren't on whatever they were on. And so then I lost them and then I didn't keep track of them.
Yeah, it bounced around for a bit.
Yeah. But also, Issa Rae is also in another Oscar nominated? Wait.
Barbie. Mm-hmm.
Barbie, yes. But also, I was thinking of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Verse.
He's also nominated. They're both nominated.
Yeah, so she's got three this year. Good for her.
Oh.
She deserves it.
So the guy in the beginning, when he's fighting with the professors or whatever, the one who's very antagonist against him, mm-hmm. I guess his character name was Mandy, or is his actual name Mandy? Hold on, I have it.
Mandy Patinkin?
Right, no.
I didn't know he was in that class.
Mandel was his character's name. His real name is Patrick Fischler. Every time I see this man, he guest starred in one of the very first episodes of Grimm, a show I really loved. Speaking about good until it was messy. So all of the premise is like Grimm fairy tales are based on real life. Mm-hmm. And so he played a frog. I don't know if it was tied to the frog prince or whatever, but he hit. His lineage was from this like frog creature that was like poisonous, and so every time I see him, I see like this frog creature. So he popped up on screen and I was like, it's the frog.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Also, Penn Badgley was in this movie.
Yes, he was. No.
Amazing.
Wait, I forgot.
Fuck you.
Oh, Adam Brody. I was like, what the fuck? That wasn't Penn Badgley. You remember him? Adam Brody. I love Adam Brody. I love Adam Brody, and I love that he's married to Leighton Meester, and I love that they're happy, and it just makes my whole life happy. Two favorite teen shows, two of the leads got married. Amazing.
I didn't watch the OC, but I watched the real OC, Laguna Beach.
Oh my God. Laguna Beach. Jesus. That's some good shit. I love Penn Badgley and Adam Brody. That was really great. I think, you know, I'm really glad, and it just shows the range. Jeffrey Wright being able to play so well into the comedy and so well into the drama. Because there was, especially in that Adam Brody Penn Badgley scene, there were so many like physical things he was doing.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is just so fucking hilarious. Because like you see him like being uncomfortable and trying to like settle into that persona and then like doing it. And he's just kind of like, even when he questions himself, like, of course white people are gonna believe it. Like
right.
It's so funny. I really need to look up the like lines from this movie because I thought I had them written down, but I didn't. I guess I didn't take that many notes in the theater. It's probably good.
I don't have the whole thing written down, but that Roe v. Wade joke that Tracy Ellis Ross made had me cackling.
Wait, which one? I forgot.
It's when they're in the car and immediately like when she picks him up, she tells him a joke. I don't have it written down. I'll look it up here in a second to see if I can find it. But it was a Roe v. Wade punch joke, and it made me cackle.
I remember it, too, and I remember it being funny, but I have no idea what it says now. Damn it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I saw this movie like 2-3 weeks ago. So I remember, but I don't at the same time. And right. I was hoping it would be like available to rent so I could just rewatch it just because I thought it was great. But it's like $20. I'm like, it's a lot for me right now. So I didn't watch it again, but I wanted to.
I was thinking about that too. Once it is on streaming, then I'll rewatch it because it was good. I think because I watched it so long ago, that's why when I wanted to rewatch it before this because I wanted to be fresh on my mind, and I just saw a different Oscar contender yesterday, so that's on my brain. But now that I'm talking about it, I'm like, wait, I did really like this movie. it's been a month, so I'm dumb and I forgot.
Yeah, a month is a long time.
I found the joke.
Oh my god, what is it?
So you're in a boat a couple of meters from shore and you're wearing expensive sneakers, but you see your Uber pull up and you need to get to shore quick.
Oh, yeah.
Why is this a legal conundrum? Because it's a matter of Roe v. Wade.
What's...
Bitch.
I'm remembering my theater experience. So that was the one joke that everyone laughed at. But when it came to, like, the racial jokes, I could clearly tell where the people of color were and where the white people were. Because it was a different kind of laugh. Yes! And I was like, oh. And I sat in the back row, so I was like, I can see everything. So I was like, oh, okay. I know where. Oh, okay. That's a white man. Got it. Oh, that's a person of color for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could just tell by the different laughs. So that experience was interesting. And I went in the morning, like a morning showing. It was not packed, but it wasn't empty either. Mm-hmm. And yeah, to hear the different kind of laughs was, or like people kind of sitting in their chairs, like adjusting their themselves in their chair. It kind of reminded me when I saw, I didn't see Get Out in theaters, but I imagine it was the same kind of feel. But that was scary, so that's different.
You know, I remember that. I remember that too, because I remember, like, naturally, I mean, you guys know me. I'm very loud. And if I go to the movies with my mother, we're like equally loud. And then Benjamin too. So there's three of us and it's very loud. But I remember like the first like really funny joke, we like laugh like really loud and then everybody else is kind of like, I think it was one of the ones where he was in his classroom. But yeah, it's a really fun theater experience. It's great. I know it's difficult and a lot of the times it can be expensive, especially if you've got like a family with like kids or whatever, to go to the movies, but man, a movie going experience really makes such a difference to like what you watch, and like how much you can enjoy something because it's more like, it's kind of like, it's communal, like, you know, like other people.
Yeah.
Especially with like comedies. Like I want to sit there laughing with other people I don't know. I want to, if it's funny, like, you know, it's just like a vibe. It's just like a mood. It's like, it's nice. It's nice without having to like know them or talk to them. You just know like, okay, you're vibing.
It reminds me of, and I think Anna had mentioned this before, but when her and I saw The Revenant in theaters, I don't know if you remember, but the scene towards the end of the movie, and I think it's Tom Hardy, and his hand is like in the snow, and someone stabs him, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you see the blood on the snow. Different movie, but the reaction of the audience was like, "Whoa!" Because like it would just kind of came out of nowhere, and like that movie was way different in the theater than it was at home.
Yes,
and then like. Not even to mention, like, the Marvel movies. Like, those are experiences as well. Like, mm-hmm. I will never forget watching, was it Endgame or the, what was the one where they all did dusted? What was that one? I forgot.
Infinity War.
Okay. I'll never forget sitting there, like, when it started to happen, they were dusting. I remember grabbing my brother's arm, like, oh my god, what's happening? What's happening? Where are they going? Like, him and I were freaking out. Like, you could not that an experience. Like I agree. It's sometimes it's hard for people because it's not the cheapest sometimes, and
yeah,
it's worth it, I think.
Yeah. I think what was so wild about that Revenant screening was also that it had been out since like December, and we went on Valentine's Day, and we thought there's not going to be a lot of couples wanting to watch this on Valentine's Day. It's been out for a couple months. No, it was packed, and we were sitting in that first half before the risers, because we went to we thought we're not going to need to buy like our seats in advance, and this was right before that was almost mandatory in all theaters. So that was so wild, that experience. We were like, no one was supposed to be here, and everybody's here.
Oh my god,
I forgot about that part.
What says romance more than a man having to lie naked inside of a bear?
Not much.
I don't know.
There's another line where his editor is like, "What is this? I told you to dress street." And he said, "I did." And it's like, "Fucking Sesame Street."
Yeah.
Oh my god. It's so good. It's just so funny. Yeah.
Anyone else got anything else? Honestly, like,
yeah, since I watched it so long ago, and again, I'm not gonna pull my phone out in the theater.
I have a note that says Sterling K. Brown's ass.
Let's talk about Sterling K. Brown for a second.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. What do we think about his performance? Do you think he was, well, I guess we'll get to categories, but like, first of all, he looked phenomenal.
Mm. I know. He was thriving. And you know what? I'm like, I didn't watch This Is Us, so like, I didn't see him in his like big moment, but I really enjoy him as like an actor. I think he has like natural charm. So it helps a lot. He's very charming. So like, I feel like you can take to him really easily. There's a movie that I still haven't seen, but I have it on my watch list on Peacock. But it's the one with him and,
I'm sorry. I thought you said you could take him very easily. And I was like, what?
What? No.
I'm sorry. I thought you said you could take him very easily. And I was like,
no.
But then
this is not that kind of podcast. Respectfully, he's beautiful, but also respectfully. A movie with him and Regina Hall where they're pastors of like a mega church, and that's also kind of like a satire, like mockumentary style.
Jesus Says Honk?
Yes, Jesus Says Honk. Yes, something like that.
Something
or Honk
like
for
that,
Jesus. Yeah. Whatever it is. It looks good, and I love Regina Hall, and she's so fucking funny. And I've heard nothing but good things about that. So now that it's on Peacock, I have it on my list, but I just haven't gotten to it because Oscar season. But I really like him, and I really want to see more of him.
Us OGs have loved him since 2007 when he was in Army Wives on Lifetime.
Oh my god, was that him?
That was him. He was the one husband among the army wives because his wife was in the army. And I've loved him since then. I thought he was really great. I didn't watch a lot of This Is Us. I only saw like a couple of the first season. Then I was like, this is manipulating me too much. And I don't like it. But what I did see, I thought he was really great in. I hope this is his, you know, a good stepping stone for him to be in more movies and to be in more, you know, quality movies, that get these kinds of, that gets this kind of attention. But yeah, I thought he was great here. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll talk about how, you know, how it, we all really feel when we do, categories, but I thought he was, I love seeing him. I think he's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that Honk for Jesus movie or whatever, that sounds very interesting. And because I kind of grew up in mega churches, I kind of would like to watch that. And since now that I am past the hill that is that. I think I would be able to watch it and not feel like I'm going to get, you know, struck down.
Yes.
So yeah, I'll check that out too. And then Sterling K. Brown, I only watched like the first couple. Well, okay. So I started watching This Is Us like in winter 1 year, whatever it was at the house. And I, turns out I was really sick. So I had to stay home. So I watched what I thought was the first full season, but it was just like three episodes. And I was like, oh, okay. What I did like about that show is the sibling love as well. Mm-hmm. It did get very networky.
Soapy.
And I feel like, again, I didn't see everything, but how they, Chrissy Metz, her character, they defaulted the trope of like her being a bigger woman, and that was like her only issue. And like, I don't know, it would have been really nice to have the network show and she was like thriving. Like, she can have those insecurities because she's like, that's, yeah, obvious, but I don't know, everything was about her weight. Like, oh, I can't do that because of this. I can't do that because I weigh this much or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, I don't know. It just seems very like one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Whatever. We're not talking about that show. But I did enjoy the sibling love on that. But yeah, I thought he was great. Like I said, I'm very surprised that he's nominated. Like,
same.
I'm not mad at it, but I'm like, it feels very like Hail Mary that he's even there. So
go off. Did we do an episode on This Is Us when we were still doing TV?
Yeah.
We did? Okay, I think that's when we talked about that, too.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, did we? No.
Now I feel like there was an episode where we talked in depth about This Is Us. But I don't know if we, like, watched an episode. Because I can't remember. I couldn't remember that I loved this movie.
We talked about Sharp Objects. I was like looking for the episode. I'm like, where is it? No, turns out we made that video, that one YouTube video.
Oh, that's right.
that's right.
Also, on our YouTube page.
But also, I'm sure we've talked about it when we talked about other Amy Adams performances. Like, we've talked about other. Like,
yeah.
If we watch something with somebody in it, then we'll talk about it. So it's in an episode somewhere.
Just not.
I know. I was just thinking. I was like, this. I'm getting deja vu. Yeah. I mean, we have so many episodes. Like,
we've
surprised.
Been doing this for a long time.
Seven years, yo.
We're seniors now. Yeah.
Wait, 7 years? Oh my god.
What?
7 years? Oh my god.
Wait, we've been doing this for 7 years?
Yeah, bruh.
Holy shite. No way.
Yes way.
Oh my god, that's cool.
Did you not know that till just now?
I knew it had been years, but that's a lot of years.
Yes.
Oh my god, that's cool.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Like,
if we were a TV show, we'd be in syndication already, which is
hell
pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we get that money, please,
girl? Can we get any money, please?
Money, please. Sponsorship, please.
Oh my god.
Speaking of Sterling K. Brown, his character Cliff, the whiplash that I had, the moment where they're taking his their mom to the senior center, and it's like cute and they're playing music and he's dancing with her. And then she has to go say some homophobic shit, and then I was like, man, that rug was pulled out from under me real quick, because I was like, oh my god, how cute. And then I was like, okay, that's fine. I wasn't enjoying this at all. This, I think just the screenplay is just really good and really well-balanced, well-rounded. It's got a little bit of everything. I like it. So many genres. So many things. So many, all the good stuff. I have to go listen to the score on its own, but I did notice it while I was watching the movie, because I made one note about it. It was a good, accompaniment to the story, because it wasn't like, it wasn't overwhelming the story or overwhelming the film. It was there when it was necessary. So it was nice. Score was nice. Does anyone else have any other notes? More notes?
Not really. That was about it for me.
Categories. Let me see if I can find any other funny quotes because I can't remember.
Oh, I did have Carmen Cusack. She, I think, was one of the professors at the beginning as well, and she's also a Tony-nominated actress.
You know, this was like a true like ensemble performance where like everybody was giving it all. Nobody was bad. Nobody was pulling them down. And like Erica Alexander, scene stealer for sure. But still, everyone was great. I am actually rewatching Living Single. I think I'm on like season 3 now. But yeah.
Love that. Love that.
It's so honestly, it holds up so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is so funny. And the fact that like Friends had to go and try to recreate this, which Friends is also great, but like that this was the original Friends, but like some people couldn't get on board with it. Bitch, I'll take Living Single any day.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that like Living Single came before Friends. A lot of people think it's the reverse.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what the other thing was? I saw someone, I don't know if it was an article or like a Twitter thread, but you know how everyone's like, oh my God, Fran Drescher, like style icon. A lot of her outfits and her hairstyles or like her accessories or whatever were things that Regine wore in the show first.
Yep.
I was like mind blown because they had the side by sides, like the jackets and the hats. And like,
I think I saw that actually.
Yeah, I saw it. It was a couple of years, or maybe not a couple of years ago. I saw it a while back, but then it popped up on my Twitter again very recently, like this week. And I had forgotten about it. I was like, oh my God, with all the pictures, with all the receipts, like all the examples. And I was like, no fucking way. Of course. Of course. Like
I had seen Living Single a little bit as a young person, but I was really young when it came out. And then here and there, like, you know, on reruns or whatever. But I don't know that I've ever actually watched it all the way through. I've seen a huge chunk of it, but I have never actually watched it from episode 1 to the finale. But I was familiar with it. So when I had never seen The Nanny either. So I watched that like this past year. I finished it. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking like, I've seen these outfits before, but I don't know where. And then I saw that tweet or that article and I was like, oh, that makes sense now.
Yeah. It's so like... Hollywood never likes to give credit where credit is due, but Regine and the costume designers on Living Single did it first.
Yeah.
Erica Alexander was funny and amazing and perfect and beautiful first. And Queen Latifah is literally that bitch, and I love her so much, and I've loved her always, and she will always be great. And I can't believe I was like 50 feet away from she was standing. Oh my God.
When was this?
When I had just moved here, actually, they were shooting her show, The Equalizer, on the street, literally where I work. And I was leaving work and I was like, what are all these lights and shit and these people? And I was just trying to get across the street because I didn't want to miss my bus. And there she is shooting a scene for The Equalizer. And I was like, oh, my God, I love you.
Question. So what is The Equalizer? I don't even know what that is.
It was a movie with Denzel Washington, and then they made it into a show with Queen Latifah.
Oh, that's
cool. Yeah, where she's kind of like an action hero-y.
Oh!
Kind of like vigilante almost, but like not like in a superhero-y way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'll send you a picture. I have a picture of, and she's a little blur across the street.
That's your phone or your vision? Which one?
It's my phone. I was wearing glasses, so I was fine. I could see her. I could tell that it was her. But yeah, no, I love her. Living Single is great.
Yeah.
The fashion. Also, it's so interesting watching like those shows. Like, I don't know if you guys felt like that when you were watching Friends. But, like, watching those shows now, but as, like, as you're their age, too.
Yeah.
And, like, being mm-hmm. like, oh, Like, I experienced that too.
It's almost like watching a new show, actually.
Yeah, because you see it from the perspective of, like, oh, I'm an adult. And they're an adult, too.
Like, wait a minute, I'm the same age as her. That's weird.
Yeah.
What?
I was having that, like, realization when I was watching Living Single, and I was like, man, because they made working at a magazine look so cool. And I was like, I want to work at a magazine that looks cool. And, like, living in Brooklyn is so cool.
What I
and,
always like, hate about shows set in New York is, like, that apartment will be so expensive. Like, No.
And at the time, maybe not.
At the time, maybe
not. Well, I think Monica's was, like, rent-controlled, right? Because I was, like, her grandma's or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So I like that they explained that, because that little point to mention, like, oh, wait, it's the same price.
And then, like,
why it was nicer than Joey and
exactly. Sanders. Yeah. Love that.
I think in Living Single, it's Queen Latifah and then her cousin are living mm-hmm. together. And I think Regine lives there, too. There was, like, this big, on like a brownstone. So they had multiple bedrooms. So I think they all live there. I think Maxine was the only one who didn't live there. She had her own place because she was a lawyer and she, you know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I also loved the, like, this is like a super small detail, but I also like the hallway and being single, the way the stairs went up. Like, I liked that look. I don't know. I thought it was cool. Could, like, see
I've
the
never seen Living Single or The Nanny.
they're really good shows. Like, I was watching them through lunch. Because they're quick and they're funny. Especially The Nanny is so funny. Not so much for her, but for the side characters. Niles
the butler guy. The
funniest thing. The way he gives Cece so much shit through the entire series. It's so funny. It's great to just put on and, like, do laundry or, you know, not pay full attention because it's a sitcom. It's like 1,000 episodes, but they are enjoyable. Sitcoms are fun. Also, because they're 22 minutes, so they're super short.
Right. You can watch so many.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they're fun. Everyone's great.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, good time. I'll keep watching.
Do we have any last notes?
Let me double check, but I don't think so.
Oh, during the credits, maybe Joy will remember the art during the credits. I thought that was cool.
Oh God, I'm blanking.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't remember exactly, but I wrote art during the credits! ! Obviously, I liked it, but I don't remember exactly what it was.
I mean, I'm definitely gonna watch this again because it was really funny.
Oh, I like the line, enemies see each other better than friends. I liked that. That whole commercial about black stories. I've literally seen that commercial before in real life. That is real.
Oh my God.
When the mom says to Eric Alexander, I'm happy you're not white.
She's like, me too.
the theater again. The different laughs in the theater when that happened. Also, I don't look forward to this time in my life. I've said that before when it comes to taking care of aging parents. The line, Hollywood runs on book reports. I thought that was funny too. So this won the People's Choice Award at TIFF. And notably, past winners of that award have been Nomadland, 12 Years a Slave, The King's Speech, Slumdog Millionaire, and American Beauty all went to win Best Picture.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and then I like at the very end when they're at that meeting and they choose the book. The one lady's like, now it's time to listen to black stories when she's telling, like, Issa Rae and Jeffrey, right? That's funny too. But yeah, that's all I got. Anything else?
The whitesplaining is just so it's just so funny when it's in a movie and not in person.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah.
I don't really hear it in person. Yeah.
Do you want to go to the categories then?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do we think it should be in Best Picture?
Thoughts?
Yeah.
No?
Do you have something you would replace it with?
I'm okay with it being here. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have picked it.
Okay.
I don't know what I would replace it with. The only one that comes to mind is May, December, but even then I'm not sure if that would be my pick for it to replace. Right. But yeah, I guess I was just so middle of the road with this movie that I wasn't like,
you were like, wow. Sure. You were like, sure.
Yeah. Yes.
So it would, if it was just a top five, it would be no, but maybe top 10 ?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. What about best actor? Jeffrey Wright is nominated against Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, and Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer.
Yes.
I'll accept him here. I think he's wonderful. He gave a wonderful performance. I'm not mad about it. I like it.
Yeah, I agree. I feel it's more career, though, because individually, I think he did a good job. But if I have to pick, I like Tao Yu better from Past Lives, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good replacement.
But again, like we all said, I'm not mad that he's here. He's such a good guy that it's hard to feel upset about it.
And he's such a reliable actor. I feel like he's always able to fill the role regardless of what it asks of him.
Yeah.
I really enjoy him.
So best supporting actor, Sterling K. Brown is up against Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things.
Okay, so
thoughts.
This
friends.
Was a big surprise for me because when I first saw it on the list, I was like, I barely saw him in the trailer. Where is he in the movie? And yes, he had some noteworthy scenes, and yes, Sterling K. Brown is fabulous. But I would put Charles Melton in the category before I would put Sterling K. Brown.
Personally. Okay. Yeah, I agree completely.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think both him and Robert De Niro, I think I would be fine if they weren't nominated.
Yeah, I think it's a nice, like, it's a good thought. I hope, like, Anna said, like, this boosts him and we see him in way more stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he deserves it. He's a great actor. I just, maybe the role wasn't meaty enough. Maybe there wasn't I don't think there was enough, but I do like the complexity of the character, but I think that's more so the writing than necessarily him.
Part of me thinks that because it came out so not that long ago, the people watched it now so fresh in their voters' minds.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'll vote this. Mm-hmm. And then I read a couple tweets. I was like, maybe they voted for it because they don't want to be like, oh, like I voted for American Fiction, so I'm not racist. Situation.
Fair. I could see that.
Right. Like I would have voted for Obama for another term situation type of similar thing. And I was like, that's interesting. I mean, I don't have any way of knowing that, but someone made that point on Twitter and I was like, huh.
This is super random. This is super random. But look at all the R's in this category. Robert, Ryan, Ruffalo.
I love that because I also noticed that too, but I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to sound like a weirdo.
We can be weirdos together.
It's similar to when I'm in a parking lot and I see like the same color car parked like in a row. I'm like,
oh, four in a row. Yeah.
Oh my god. It's like I saw a unicorn or something. It's amazing. Anyways. Best adapted screenplay. So best adapted screenplay. It's up against Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
Yes. I need to rewatch it so I can relaugh at all the jokes that I completely forgot, but that I know are funny. I would also like to see the script of this. I wanna see how that looks.
I wouldn't mind reading the book. I think the book would be fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Erasure by
Percival Everett.
Thank you. I don't know if the novel is like, I guess it's a novel. It's not like a, I don't know what I'm saying. Ignore me. I'm glad that it's here. If it wins anything, which I doubt it will, it might win that, but that's like a left field, like out of if any chance it has, it'll be this, but it won't. But like, I'm really happy for Cordova Street.
Well, oh my God.
What the fuck are we talking about?
I read Cord Jefferson and I read Cord Over Street instead. I'm gonna go jump in the lake now.
I'm not editing that out.
God, you know
please
what? Don't.
I want to remember that forever.
Listen, their names are so weird and dissimilar, so like, it's not my fault. I'm sorry. Apologies, Cord Jefferson. I'm so sorry. I'm happy for him, because, like I said, first time director, first time nominee, similar to Celine Song. Like, I hope this just gives them. Sure. Well, I'm hopeful, but I think about the writer of, I believe also the director of Judas and the Black Messiah, Chaka King. Where's he at? Oh, that movie was phenomenal, and we have yet to see anything from him. He should have been getting offered.
We talk about this being a platform from them, and then we also talk about Lupita Nyong'o.
Same thing, yeah. Like,
yeah.
At least, like, she's a little more in the forefront. Like, we have seen her in, like, smaller stuff, but, like, Chaka King was phenomenal in that with Judas and the Black Messiah. He should have been getting offer after offer, and he's, like, where he at? Like, I'm hopeful, but at the same time, I know what world we live in and what Hollywood is, and so I'm not... I'm choosing to be positive about it, though.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, I would like to see Lupita Nyong'o receive her second Oscar nomination. That's what
Chaka King has something in development. Currently, it's the untitled Chaka King American Political Insurrection Project.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll watch.
That one will be good.
Yeah, I hope it comes out sometime soon. And also, like, I have to remember that movie came out, like, right at the pandemic time, so that was, like, a weird... It's 2020, so it's a little...
And movies take a long time.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like... They make things happen when they want it to happen. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, true.
Whatever. I hate to be that like, annoying person about it, but it's true. Okay. So, sorry. Best score... is nominated against Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things.
Well, it's not going to win, but it's good.
Yeah, agreed. I like it. I enjoyed it. So surprised it's here, but...
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by the score. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree with Joy. I'll have to go back and re-listen to it outside of the movie. I remember enjoying it, but I'm having a hard time recalling it.
Yeah. Cute jazzy vibes from what I remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pleasant.
Yeah. Make me some jazz.
So, rankings?
Oh, shite.
Rankings. Okay.
Guess what? I don't have mine ready. I'm terrible. But
I will go
first. I have mine.
Anna, you go. By your reaction, Joy, I thought you weren't ready. Please take it away, Joy.
Oh, it's just because I'm like, our rankings. I'm so excited to publish our. I'm so excited to post our final rankings at the end, right before the Oscars, because I love doing that. And seeing how different they're gonna be, because it's so exciting to me.
Thinking about the final ranking, like, gets me sweating. I don't know how I'm going to do it.
I told her, just do it quick and don't think too much about it, because then you're going to, like, give yourself an ulcer or something.
Yeah, and I'll just ask for it, and you have to send it to me right then and there, so that way it's just your gut reaction.
Exactly.
And I'm going to post it, and then that's it. I'm not going to edit anything. I'm not going to wait, so that we just, even though we will 100% change our minds, because that's just who we are. We're just gonna go for it. Okay, so at number, what is it, 8? Oh my god. Wait, why do I have an extra one on here? Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? What am I?
Can
how do
count?
I have 9 thing on here? Oh, oops. I put something on the list that we haven't done.
Oh, yeah. Don't take that out right now.
Okay. I've got eight. Okay. So at number eight, I have Anatomy of a Fall. At number seven, I have Maestro. Six is Killers of the Flower Moon. Five is Barbie. Four is American Fiction. Three is The Holdovers. Two is Oppenheimer. And one is Past Lives.
Wild.
Okay.
Fucking wild, isn't it? I love it.
Ooh, okay. My number eight, I have Maestro. Seven, Killers of the Flower Moon. Six, American Fiction. Five, Holdovers. Four, Barbie. Three, Oppenheimer. Two, Anatomy of a Fall. And one, Past Lives.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. So I literally just did this ranking right this second. Okay. Yes. It's fresh. So, number eight, we have Killers of the Flower Moon. Seven is Maestro. Six is The Holdovers. Five is Oppenheimer.
Oh. Wow.
Four is Barbie. Three is American Fiction, so I have American Fiction. Two is Past Lives, and one is Anatomy of a Fall.
Dang. Wow, wow, wee, wow.
Yeah. Because I mean, I would say that American Fiction is over Oppenheimer because there's people of color. And
yeah.
While Barbie was very diverse. Oh, see, I think Barbie and American Fiction could swap back and forth to me, but I think Anatomy of Fall and Past Lives are kind of maybe, well, I'll be quiet.
No, Zay.
No, I don't want to ruin future conversations.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So yeah, that's American Fiction, everybody.
All right. You know, I'm so excited. Wait, what's next? Hold on. I'm so excited about listening to what you guys have to say for the last two, because I feel like I have a prediction of how one of you is going to react to something, but I'm not sure. But I feel like I know you well enough that I know. But also, who knows? I could be surprised.
Well, I mean, I thought you were like Anatomy of Fall, so I'm very surprised by your reaction for that. So who knows?
Yeah,
it's all up in the air.
Number eight. Yeah. Wild.
And you know what? When I was looking at it, what was it? When we recorded the last one, I was like, should I move it? should I change it? But then I was like, no. No. And also the same thing with, like, I want to talk more about Barbie later because I think it matches well with something else. But Barbie, I want to put it higher, but then I look at some of the other movies and I'm like, no. Yeah. But yeah, this is a really fun year. I'm loving it.
And if there's anything to take away from this episode, it's to go back and watch Living Single.
Yes.
The Nanny.
100%.
And the seminal classic Army Wives from 2007 time.
First of all, yes. You definitely would watch a show called Army Wives. This is everything.
Right and there. You know what? I only watched, like, semi-watched it because my mom watched it back then. So I only vaguely remember, like, what was going on in the, because it was background noise to me. but I do remember Sterling King Brown. Now that you mentioned
dramas.
You said it was on Lifetime, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a Lifetime show. Such a Lifetime show.
There's a song from season one that I still have on my playlist today that I listen to a lot.
Shut up. Send it to me.
I think the only thing I watched on Lifetime was that Unreal show with Shirley Appleby. She was like a producer of like a, so she plays, Shirley Appleby plays a producer of like a bachelor type reality show.
With Constance Zimmerman. It was really good the first couple seasons.
I only saw the first like half of first season one. I was like, it's very good. And then I forgot. Unreal.
I don't know anything about that. That sounds interesting. Who's Shirley Appleby's?
Well, she owns Applebee's restaurants.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good for her.
You didn't watch the original Roswell. The gorgeous, the beautiful. She plays Liz in the original Roswell. My heart beats for that show so much.
There is a character named Kristen Applebee's on Dimension 20's Fantasy High. Really great character arc. We love us some Kristen Applebee's.
Hell yeah. Great video. I don't know anything about that, but she has a cool ass name.
She said a lot of words just now that I was like, huh? I didn't get any of that.
It's a D&D show.
Roswell, New Mexico, though, so good, and it's all of its CW-ness. Like, I super enjoyed it. It was so CW, but man, I was so happy.
The city of Roswell, New Mexico is really great.
The end of an era. Those CW shows.
I know.
What? What's happening?
CW has, it like, sold it parts of it, and now it's, like, a whole different thing.
No!
It canceled, like, all of its programming. Except for, like, two shows.
No. Yeah. CW made some good shit. Roswell, New Mexico. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Jane the Virgin, even though I don't like, what's her name?
Gossip Girl.
And then before that, the WB.
The W.
The Crown Jewel.
Before that, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P., yeah.
I guess I'm done watching teen shows.
Never.
Never!
No, I'll never grow out of that. I think I'm going to rewatch Gossip Girl now. Or the OC.
I need you to watch Mike's recap of Gossip Girl, please.
Oh, yes.
Just did Pitch Perfect 2. He came out like a couple days ago, Pitch Perfect 2.
Shut up. Oh my God, it'd be so fun.
His Pitch Perfect one was great.
That'd be like recapping Pitch Perfect between us.
Remember that time y'all were at the theater and I was like out of town?
I know. We were literally calling you being like, are you coming to this movie? Me and Melina were calling her from the theater like, are you running like really late? And we called her and she answered. She's like, I'm on the road like hours away.
We were at a gas station in somewhere, small town nowhere. She's like, are you going to be here? I'm like, no. We're at the movies. I'm in another state.
On my way.
And that was so funny. Was that the second one or the third one? I can't remember that happened.
It was the second one because I don't think we ever got to see the third one.
I eventually saw the third one. Wow, it's trash. Like, really, really bad trash.
Damn.
Like, not I can't like, even enjoy like trash.
Not enjoyable trash like the first two.
No, like, I'm like, this is embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Like, you should all be embarrassed.
Damn. That's
It's so
That's
bad.
That's another level of trash.
I was like, why? Why do this to yourselves? Like, y'all could have just not done this. Anyway.
Yeah. I guess they needed a paycheck that month. They didn't pay rent, you know.
Which I get, so fine, I guess. But I remember the second one. I need to watch Mike's recap, but I remember the second one being pretty good, so.
Yeah, I feel like the second one was good. I don't remember what happens, but
it's Hailee Steinfeld, and she's like a legacy. And
I love Hailee Steinfeld.
Okay, Kay Segal is there, and yeah.
Yeah, no, it was good. I remember that. That was fun. It was fun. Let me not say it was good, because it was fun.
It was fun, yeah. I will agree, it's fun. Yeah. I really love that first Pitch Perfect, but that whole barf scene is like, mm-mm. But why?
One.
What do you mean, which one? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I blocked it out.
Man.
I was just remembering all the, like, the cringy times Anna Kendrick was singing.
Excuse me? Like,
just a mess. Just a mess.
That's what was iconic.
Wow. That's so, like, a picture in time.
It really is.
Yeah.
You had to be there. You just had to be there.
Yeah. That's for the millennials.
I love that.
And just, like, the weird influence Glee had on everything, including Crystal's pronunciation of the director's name.
What?
Corn Overstreet.
I got to bring it up. I blocked it out.
It's all right. We all still have Glee songs on our Spotify.
I hate that. I really hate that. I still do. But some of those covers.
Bops.
I still really like from that first Pitch Perfect. Not the treble clefs. The
treble tones?
Treble tones.
Is that what the boys group is?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. The Barton Bellas and the treble tones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their mix of Right Round and Don't Stop the Music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
I love those.
I'll never forget watching that trailer thinking, this is what Glee wanted to do. This is what Glee is supposed to be. Yes!
Oh, man. What a time.
Listened to a couple episodes of Jenna Ushkowitz and Kevin McHale's. Like, they did mm-hmm. a podcast of, like, Showman. So it's, like, they have guests on who, like, were on a show together and, like, the Showmans, whatever. And they talk shit about Glee, like, so much. It's really funny.
I love that. I love that for them.
Like, they don't hold back. They're not like, this show is terrible, but they are not shy about saying, like, I just listened to one where they interviewed Ira from, like 2018. Mm-hmm. And they talked about how they whole reason they shot Blame It on the Alcohol, that episode, is because they all showed up to work drunk one time and then got in trouble.
So oh, my couple, God.
So then, a little while later, they wrote into the show. Because they said they had, a late call time, like, afternoon, and then so they started at, 7, so their lunch was, really late at night. So, let's go have sushi outside, off campus, basically. And they got to come back to work, and then they were like, oh, wait, we still have to shoot stuff. So they got called into the office and, reprimanded, and they're like, sorry. Oh, and then they read script a couple months later, they're like, oh, this looks familiar.
But anyways,
it's cute, it's fun.
Not Ryan Murphy trying to write shows just based off of everybody else's story.
Well, you know, he can't actually write. He'll just write whatever people are going through or, like, you tell me what your character was supposed to be and then I'll write it.
Mm-hmm.
What? Don't get me started on the Glee project. That pissed me off.
Oh, my God.
He does okay with adapted stuff, but...
Yeah, if there's something already written there for him to just kind of...
Or facts, you know...
Yeah, things that he can pull from. But out of his own ass, out of his own brain, no.
I just think I hate him a lot of times. But also I'm like, he has put a lot of people like MJ Rodriguez to the forefront. And that's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, probably wouldn't have had, gave her breakout role. That's great, you know. Yeah. I'd love to see that.
Or Niecy Nash-Best, who just won her, Emmy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I'm torn.
Yeah, that show.
Because he sucks, but, also he is, even when he won his, Golden Globe for, I don't know, being white or something, he shouted out MJ Rodriguez, like, she's never got a recognition, so I'm going to recognize her. Like, that was cool. Fine.
Yeah, and he does love the theater people, so I guess I gotta.
Although, I did not like prom date, what was it?
Prom.
That shit pissed me off, too. No. I was so mad about that movie.
Still never seen it.
Don't waste your time. Literally,
go watch it right now.
Did you ever see the on Broadway at all?
I never saw it on Broadway, but I saw clips and stuff.
Oh, okay. The music, it was great.
People in it.
The dancing was great, but the actual story. You know what? Never mind. I don't want to give it.
Hey, but you know what? That reminds me. We finally have had a couple of James Corden-free years. And it's been very nice.
Right. Is that why our skin's clear now? Wow.
Skin's clear.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Hydrated.
The world is healing. Yes.
The world is healing. My ears aren't hurting. Ooh, yay.
The bleeding stopped. I'm so excited.
I really liked him before. So.
Damn.
Eh, whatever. I just think, Graham Norton does this whole setup way better, but whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I liked him and Gavin and Stacey.
Oh, yeah, Gavin and Stacey wasn't bad. That's true.
I liked him. You know, he did some good theater, and then he also, I thought, was really funny on some of, the quiz shows and talk shows I like on British game shows. So I was excited when he got the gig, and then I was like, you can go away now.
Yeah, he just torpedoed. What happened, man? anyways.
I think it was overexposure that he didn't know what to do with.
Also, like, he's not that great in musicals, but they kept putting him in musicals.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, he's not a terrible singer, but, like, there's, so
there's other
more,
options
so
other than people. James Corden.
That's the whole... in prom, it shouldn't have been James Corden. It should have been Tyus Burgess in that role. Okay, I'm just saying. I'm not getting into it anymore because I'm going to get mad.
It definitely
anyways,
should have
that's
been a gay actor.
That's what I'm saying. All right, that's enough. Goodbye. I'm done.
All right. We'll be back. We got two more episodes.
Yes!
Woo, we're almost there. We're dos. Almost there.
Uno, dos. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.